Blog Talk Radio.
For results we got coming out of Michigan, we've got 12.1 of the precincts reporting, and we have at this point Romney just pulled ahead slightly of Rick Santorum, 38.5%, 69 to 65,000. It looks like it's going to be a close night, and everything goes like they were reporting it to. We welcome you all to call in and join us on the show. I don't know if she got called away or what, but feel free to call in. We don't really have a set program tonight. We're just going to be talking as they come in. Those of us who are Santorum fans are biting our fingernails. Arizona is not expected to be close. They have nothing reporting, and they're still calling it for Mitt Romney, which is kind of interesting. But sent out ahead of time, which kind of brings us to the point of absentee ballots. It's like I really send them out, and people vote ahead of time, and I'm not really a big fan of those myself. But call in, give us your opinion. But yes, we are sitting here for election night, and just going to be in here for the long also at this point I can report to you, because this is a concern to people, the delegates as awarded at this point are 123 at Mitt Romney and 19 to Ron Paul. That is the delegate situation. I know Ron Paul supporters like to tell you they have process works. That only happens if they get a time, you know, they get, actually, Billy was saying in Iowa, they have a platform that their delegates have to agree to before they can even, they have to sign it that says delegates. And on that platform of the delegates, you have to support Israel. So that right there is not going to give Ron Paul. They think that they might have. Again, the relevance of that only comes in if we do go to a brokered convention, which I do not believe it's going to hurt the GOP overall, because they're not having the convention until August. So that only gives you like to defeat Obama. And as far as that's concerned, we need to have a strong candidate. People will get behind the candidate of their choice, and we will get this on the road. Reporting, we have Mitt Romney at 81,000 or 40.9%, with Rick Santorum at 76,248, 38. Newt Gingrich 6.9, and we still have some people out there voting for other, which is very interesting to me. I guess not sure that this time in our country is the time to be making that statement. So if you're out there listening, give me a call. We can chat and just get your ideas of what you're thinking. And interesting news today, Rick Santorum supposedly in Michigan, where they were robocalling Democrats, and Mitt Romney didn't like that too well, which I find quite amusing, as, you know, in New Hampshire. And Rick Santorum, you know, and I, myself, and for all four, closed primary because that get the vote first aren't really representing the nationwide vote as far as candidacy goes. It's also kind of delegates this way, and now that it didn't go the way they thought it was going to go, they are sweating bullets and talking about changing it, and decided he was going to win, and they don't like the fact that it's not working out as they thought it should. Let's see, we've had Romney campaign fundraising at $63 million, Rick Santorum $6 million, and the outside PACs supporting the candidate, Rick Santorum actually had, compared to Romney's $6 million spent attacking his opponents, and Newt Gingrich spent opponents versus $7 million spent supporting opponents. Rick Santorum that was attacking opponents, and Ron Paul supposedly only spent $133,000, whereas the Super PAC support for Ron Paul, $3 million in positive ads. So just some interesting little tidbits out his tax returns, but we see a definite between the candidates and their tax returns as far as how much they did. We're just sitting here at 15.2, and I got somebody calling in, so let me see who that is. Hi, who do I have at 513?
This is Becca. How you doing tonight? How you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
I'm good. I had blank on your name, Brenda. I am so sorry. It's been that kind of night. Anyway.
Yeah. So what are you thinking? I don't know.
Well, actually, I had some news, which might be interesting. I just, well, not news, but just interesting that nobody else possibly knows that's listening, is that I just got, you all know I live in Ohio, or some people do, and I just got a robocall from Romney, and brand new, never heard this one. They play the entire, they play the entire Michigan robocall from Santorum, and they say, Ohio, you can send a message to Rick Santorum. If he wants Democrats to vote in the primary, he should run as a Democrat. And
Chris,
this is paid for by Mitt Romney Something Incorporated. This is from the campaign. They are unnerved.
Well, yeah,
they are
but
unnerved.
It's like, come on, people.
He spent money to counter a robocall in Michigan to us in Ohio. I love it. I love it. They spent money. Oh,
yeah, that's true.
It makes
that's
me
true.
So happy. I just was grinning ear to ear listening to this. I'm like, this is unbelievable. Unfreaking believable. And then I go on Facebook
Fire.
To post to tell people about it, and there's some kind of weird error going on. I can't post anything. I can't post on my own wall, and I can't post on anywhere else. So if it's not just me, then that makes me feel better. But,
I
feel like
the
police are after me.
No, I wasn't able to post. I was trying to post for the show on there, and it wasn't taking the post, and it's been telling
me. Okay. Well, I see it. I saw it, so that's why it reminded me to call.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, I'm glad you did.
Okay. Good, that makes me better. So, yeah, that's the latest. Is they paid for a robocall here to Ohio. Saying that they think.
Oh my goodness! Do
so
Democrats
go,
even
everybody.
Vote?
Do they even vote? What here? No,
like, they can't cross over.
Oh hell
no!
No.
This is like just a ridiculous call.
Oh, it's completely farcical. Yeah, essentially they're trying to get us to say to ourselves, oh, that Rick Santorum, he doesn't, I don't know what they want us to think. It's just completely farcical.
That
he's a Democrat, I guess.
When,
if he wants Democrats to vote in the primary, he should run as a Democrat. That's exactly the wording. It's beyond, interesting is not even the word. It just tells you that they're scattering. They just are.
They're in a panic state because they don't.
They don't know.
Reagan actually appealed to the Democrats. I mean, we have a whole field of Reagan Democrats, which is your blue collar.
They didn't like Reagan. You got to remember these establishment people. They
who didn't
it's
like
just,
Reagan? Oh, the establishment.
That.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
They never liked him. So it's it killed me.
That's quite funny, actually.
Go ahead.
Romney at 41.4%, Rick Santorum at 37.8%, Ron Paul at 11.2%, Newt Gingrich at 10%. We're still at 41% for Romney, 38.1% for Rick, 11% for Ron Paul, 6.6% for Newt Gingrich, and 2%. Still quite a few out there haven't come in. It looks like the Upper Peninsula is all going for Rick Santorum at this point.
Good. Yeah, and actually, just to let you know, I don't know if anybody else is having this problem, but like every couple seconds, you drop out, your voice drops out for like 3 seconds. So, communication.
Yours is breaking up too, so I don't know if it's something going on online.
It must be them. It must be their system.
If you can't hear me, I'll try to keep it so that we can hear you. Actually, guys, I did get to go hear Rick speak in Michigan.
Yeah, I want to hear about that.
Oh, that was just so. He's just awesome. I mean, you can just see the fire in his eyes, and for this country and his family, and he just. Really cool. His cousin was standing behind us. We got in. We were there early because we figured they might overcrowd, and they did.
That was smart.
Yeah. the room. And they had to send over 300 people and said hi to the people in the room. And then his daughter Elizabeth was with him. So she went and talked to them. So that was pretty cool, too. But it was people there, but they weren't real rowdy. And maybe they learned something. I don't know. But
who knows?
You know, it's interesting, but yeah, I was very impressed, and the crowd was also pretty excited about his stand on the issues. And the biggest thing was this Romney Care. You know, when he was talking about how point by point, so how is Romney going to refute Obama in the election when he's done the same thing? I mean,
it's a good question.
Yeah, which is why we have, why we don't want Romney, for one reason.
Yeah, of many, yeah.
That's the biggest thing, is we can go after him on the Obamacare, because there's, I think, 75% of Obamacare. Oh, we just had a big number switch.
Oh, good, okay.
Well, it's still 21.7, and Romney's changed much in the polls or the numbers. Rick's trailing by about 10,000 votes so far. So, and we've got places reporting in, like around Detroit. Looks like Grand Rapids. We've got quite a few areas that aren't reporting in yet, so we'll just keep an eye on that.
That's cool.
Nothing coming out of it. I do know that the early vote was very, very high in Arizona. So,
yeah, this is just so frustrating, because I mean, literally every 4 or 5 seconds, you drop out for 3 seconds. So I'm missing half of the meaning of what you're saying. But you're happy. I can tell that part I can pick up.
Okay. Well, let me try to see if I can log in.
See if there's anything you can do. Yeah. Because it's just, I don't know if it's just me or, you know, you said you had some problems with audio too. So
hang on a second.
Doing what I can.
Get in and you keep talking.
Okay. Well, one other thing, well, you know, I can do that. So, one thing that's really interesting recently is I picked up a biography called The Real Romney, and I did mention it on the Patriot Soldier show. Soldiers of Patriotism show on Sunday. My commentary was about a part of a story about Mitt Romney from that book. But there was another one I read about last night. I'm trying to get through this. It's like a tome, you know, it's this huge story, it's everything about Romney possibly you'd want to know. It's by the Boston Globe and a couple of writers from them. And it was another interesting story about how he started at Bain Capital and how he had started this. He was working at a company that was founded by the same man that made Bain Capital, and he was kind of recruited from that company when that man wanted to start Bain Capital. And he essentially put Romney in charge, fairly young guy, you know, he had went to graduate school and all that, but still fairly young, but he was very promising. And, you know, Romney goes out and he talks about how, oh, I helped start this new fledgling Bain Capital, and, we just were really go-getters, and there was great risk, and we took chances and all of this, and we didn't know if it was going to succeed. Well, this book says that that wasn't quite very factual. Basically, the Bain told Romney that if he went off and became became the president of Bain Capital, if anything happened, if anything went wrong with the company and it was unsuccessful, Bain would have Romney go back to the previous company and say he was very much needed there and have no blame go on Romney. And also, there was something else too, but it was something like it was completely, there was no chance that this was not something that was like a brand new company that was anything chancy, you know what I'm saying? So it's kind of disingenuous the way Romney kind of portrays the way he started this company. I just thought, I wish I had it in front of me. I would have a little bit better grasp of what to say. But it's just kind of indicative of his, he just likes to embellish, I think is a nice way to put it, about his background and how brave or how ingenious he is about what he's done in his past.
Yeah.
So I found that interesting.
Yes, it is, and I think there's a lot in his past because he doesn't talk about it much. Am I breaking up still?
Yeah. I don't know. You didn't talk that much yet.
Okay. Well, let me know if I'm still breaking up because I may have to hang up and just try to call in.
Okay.
Billy needs to call in. Billy, if you're out there.
What are you doing? That's okay. Well, you know, I didn't have anything else to do. Not that this isn't a great way to spend an evening. I mean, come on. Patriots. I mean, this is like where to be. It's where you got to be on a night. I mean, let's be honest. But so that's kind of been my big, you know, kind of bedtime reading. So I shouldn't read, you know, scary stuff. You know, it's not that scary. I guess it's kind of weird stuff. But, it's something that's just, you know, you got to know the competition, I guess, is a way to put it. And it's really cool. The book talks all about, like, his background, like great-grandparents, I guess, that came from England. And they actually were recruited by Brigham Young. He was like went to England and they were convinced to come to America by him. So that was kind of interesting. They were the first people that came to America. Joseph Smith.
Some people want to say he's not natural born, and now I'm echoing.
Okay, hang on.
Now it sounds really weird. Whatever you're doing.
Yeah, I called in on my phone, and now I got an echo.
Yeah.
I turned my computer down, but it didn't work. So hang on again. I'll keep going, Becca.
Okay. So this is good. I got material for you. That's cool. So, yeah, no, basically the thing about that accusation about him, whether he's natural born or whatever, is just I think the Ron Paul people are just they try to disqualify every single candidate that's not Ron Paul. And unfortunately for them, they forget the fact that if people are both American and their child is born in a different country, that person is still an American. And that's what happened with Mitt Romney's father, is that his parents were missionaries. They were Mormon missionaries. They were both from America. And he was born in Mexico. So what? You know, it's like, you know, somebody's in the military and they're somewhere else and they have a child. Is that child, you know, Japanese or from Germany or, you know what I mean? It's just people that don't look into something and look into the facts, fortunately, are going to be swayed by somebody saying, oh, this is a problem for this candidate. So that's what's going on with that one.
Yeah, so. and this natural born thing isn't it. Hang on.
Okay. I missed the end of that.
Hang on. I'm going to post it. Hang on. I'm going to... happens. So, Becca, just keep talking. I think they can probably still hear you.
Okay. Yay. I hope people can hear me. Anyway, let me think what else I can talk about. Oh, I learned how... This is something everybody can do. If you want to make graphics, like for on Facebook, it's really, really easy to do. I learned a guy from Team Tinform named Jeff Morgan makes some really, really great graphics that he puts all over all the different pages, all the different, basically where people have discussions, you know, not just only Tinform pages. And so I just got inspired today because there have been so many really great quotes from Rick over the last 48 hours, I would say. And I was just really inspired. And so I
guys, I'm on the radio, just to be quiet.
Oh, okay. I was like, you're telling me to be quiet. No.
Okay, oh, no, I was talking to my kids.
I didn't know I was live.
Okay,
you were live. You need to hit mute. Just kidding. Anyway, I will train you. I will teach you like a Jedi Master. I'll teach you how to
do it. Enough, Billy. So I got to go out, and I'm going to try to come back in. And I don't know if I can. I don't know. We got somebody coming in. Can you guys understand me at all?
I hear you perfectly.
I hear you.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, we got somebody else.
I didn't know the time of the show changed.
It's
me either.
I looked on Conservative Nation like an hour ago, and I'm like, okay, it says 10 o'clock here. Why did she change that time? Well, okay, I'll wait until 10 o'clock.
Yeah. I got confused, too, so you're not the only one. You are not the only one. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm okay. I'm okay. In fact, I was just, now I'm clicking all my other sound things off because I usually have like videos running or something else playing.
To have the least amount playing. I totally understand what you're saying. So if she's trying to figure out her audio there, I've got my, you know, the things I've been learning from the Mitt Romney book I'm reading. So I've been trying to share the dirty details of what I've been reading about. Well, it's from the Boston Globe. They're not his biggest fan.
So. Well, we know what the results are, right, so far?
Has anyone
been reading them all?
Yeah, she's been reading them.
Okay.
She's on top of things.
Like right now, we have 26.9% reporting, and it's 41 for Romney, 38 for Santorum, 12 for Ron Paul, 6 for Newt Gingrich, and 3 for others. Terrible.
Well,
yeah.
It's still early, though. You know it's still early.
Yeah, there's only 27.6% reporting, so, you know, it is it's still early. And
they haven't called it yet, so, you know, it's
going
to be close.
Uh-uh.
Only with nothing reporting. So,
yeah.
But Arizona, they had the early voting, and it was massive.
Is it over in Arizona?
No, 10 o'clock. 10
no.
Eastern.
That's what I
thought. But they've already picked Romney as the winner.
Oh, really?
I know.
Well, I looked on some site or other, and it said that most of the polls do close at 9, so I can see maybe they went with that. But there were some that close at 10. But there probably are just very, very few counties that are the 10 o'clock. That's probably what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
but much
again. We
definitive
still,
enough that they did. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just hoping that
I'm hoping that
we can pull it off in Michigan at least.
Teresa, are you there?
Yes, I am. Am I on live or not?
Yes, you are.
Okay.
You're live.
You are live.
Okay.
Live,
well, you know, I just have to say that, you know, Newt Gingrich is sticking steady at 7%, and he needs to quit his campaign. I'm sorry to all the people out there that like Newt, but it's pretty clear if he can't even poll better than Ron Paul that there isn't a whole lot of support out there for him.
Yeah, and, well, you know, the thing is, he's a good guy, and he'd make a good, you know, sidekick.
Right.
But he's not the hero. You know what I mean? Have you ever seen,
right,
like, that movie Sky High? I've got two kids who watch it all the time, so, you know. There's the sidekicks and the hero. He's more the sidekick. And I think he should just fold it up.
Be a great asset and a great informational tool, but he's just not. If you look, Beetlebum.
I think they all are.
What, sidekicks?
No, I think they're all assets. They're all, you know, they all have their own qualities, but I think Santorum's the only leader.
Yes.
You know,
I would agree.
Santorum has the leader qualities. They have the follower type. Even if he was Speaker of the House and he led the House, he still followed well behind the president. He was good as a follower to Clinton. He was the follower to Reagan. So he was the follower. Santorum takes the lead and he writes the bills out. He takes the lead and he gets out there where people don't want to go. I mean, the controversial issues, he's the only one talking about them.
Right. And you have to...
Oh, I hadn't thought of that. That's interesting.
Every time they've tried to run a moderate, they have...
I had two classes on leadership, so...
Yeah, but...
I can spot something like that really well, pretty much. And Herman Cain, that's where Herman Cain was such a great leader. And the fact is, he can't be a sidekick because he's such a good leader.
Mm-hmm.
I have sometimes that kind of a quality too, where when it comes to doing a job, I have to show people how to do it right. And that's where like Santorum and Herman Cain come in. They're the ones who can show you how to do it right, and they'll say, okay, now it's in your court. You go do it.
Yeah, that's true. I hear what you're saying with that. I mean, definitely the way that Rick goes about talking about what he wants to do, what his plans are, mm-hmm. I think another sign of a good leader that he definitely displays is where he includes people. He says, this is my plan, but it's your plan too. And I think that's an important thing. And I don't hear that from the other candidates where they say, me, I. You know, mm-hmm. I'm going to do this. I'm doing this for America. I'm going to build a moon base for America. I'm going to do this. I'm sorry. I couldn't help myself. You know,
the moon colony has got to be rethought.
I'm so sorry. I shouldn't laugh. I know there's Newt people out there. I'm not ridiculing Newt. I love Newt. I used to really admire Newt. Okay, everybody. I think some people do know this, but the thing is that you need to include people and show them why you are making these plans, how it fits in with them, and I think that Rick does that so very well, where he talks about our families, and he talks about our communities, and he says, this is the base of our economy, and we have to fix this as we're fixing the economy, or we're not going to be able to do it. And I don't think anybody else would be able to express it the way that he does, even if someone had a similar idea, which they don't, or they haven't tried to express. I think that something like that, where he basically can... reaching the audience where they live. I mean, literally. You know?
Right.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I hear you fine.
Okay. I don't know. My Skype is acting up, but... Okay, we got 30% for Mitt and 38% for Rick, 11% for Ron Paul, and 6% still a close one and still results coming in. So we'll have to kind of, I think it's going to be a long night for that one.
Mm-hmm.
Or was that okay?
That's fine.
Okay.
Fine. I'm just, you know, I'm kind of on the edge of my seat, you know, saying Santorum can pull it off.
I hope so. I don't think it's the end of the world if he doesn't.
Yeah, I don't either.
And the fact is, even in Michigan, there was early voting, and there were people who wished they could recall their vote, but they couldn't because they voted. I mentioned that a little bit earlier, and I don't like this early voting. I think we should all have our election day, and if you have to be absent, you never know what's going to happen between now and that election. And It's a kind of upsetting because it does affect the results. But this is
wow.
So early.
Is it my phone or is that you, Brenda? Are you fading in and out?
It's me.
It's Skype.
Okay.
That's the problem. I'm glad it's
wow.
Me. Thank you, Billy.
So I'm gonna let you. I'm gonna let
you. I was saying to myself, I thought it was me. I'm like, oh wow, my phone might be dying.
No, it's
but,
well, I charged mine, so I knew it wasn't that. I knew it was either something here, you know, with my computer, or it was something to do. I was thinking it was the Blog Talk Radio. There was some problem with them, but now we have the answer.
Yeah, I think it's Skype. But I'm going to let you guys just keep talking, keep chatting.
Okay.
Get in here without.
I can tell more Romney stories. I got a boatload of Romney stories. Oh, no,
you go on with that.
Okay.
Go
well,
ahead.
Billy, I was just, yeah, I was just telling her, I'm reading a book right now. It's a huge tome. It's a biography of Mitt Romney called The Real Romney. And there's all kinds of stories in there. And one I had made a commentary about was, and I read this on Soldiers of Patriotism on Sunday, and it was about a story about Mitt Romney's father when he was actually the Housing and Urban Development Secretary for Richard Nixon. And he had been sent on a mission, not a mission, but he'd been sent on a kind of fact-finding trip to a place in Pennsylvania that had been ravaged by flooding. There was a hurricane, and it had Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, and he had to go. And the people there were very, very upset because they thought that the government should come and pay for all their mortgages. And they had this Democrat governor there, and he's like railing at him. And George Romney, that's Mitt Romney's father, he just looked at the guy and he said, that ain't going to happen. You know, he just is a very matter of fact, very boisterous type personality. And he says, yeah, well, that's not the way he put it, but, you know, essentially, he used some fancier words, but that's pretty much what he said. And so this is a big, big problem for Nixon, because Nixon wants to get reelected and Pennsylvania is kind of important. And so George Romney gets called into the White House, into the Oval Office. He barely ever meets with Nixon, but so this is like a kind of a rare occurrence. And they talk, and Romney actually, he tried to quit, and Nixon wouldn't let him. He said, no, you need to, you know, stay put, don't, because it would look bad, you know, if somebody in your administration quitting, and, you know, when you're trying to get reelected, it wasn't a good idea. So basically he held on, and then about six days after Nixon was reelected, George Romney put in a resignation letter, and he said essentially in the letter, I wish I had it right in front of me. Actually, I do. Goodness gracious. I have the exact quote. And this is something, and I actually, the way I wrote it, I made it so that you didn't know who the person was. So I'm actually spoiling the whole surprise of what I wrote, but I guess in telling it this time, it wasn't that important. So here's what I wrote. In the November letter, the secretary said that politicians had become too fixated on simply winning elections to lead effectively. Quote, their basic function is to compete for the responsibility to govern, unquote. Too afraid of alienating voters to tackle, quote unquote, real issues. And I just thought that was so amazing that Mitt Romney's father would have written something like that. But it was essentially what this did, this letter ended his political career. He never tried to seek elected office after that. I mean, he had been he was the president of a huge car company, and he had also been governor for three different terms of Michigan.
Wasn't he president of American Motors?
Yeah, was it American Motor Works? Mm-hmm. American Motor Works.
Yeah.
And
they're done now, though. They went out of business.
Mm-hmm. That's right. But that's what I'm saying is he was a very successful person up to that point. And, the only thing he didn't succeed at, he didn't actually get to be president. So there was that. He had run against Nixon. He did run against Nixon and didn't win. But the thing is that he put his career on the line, essentially, with this letter. And just things that he said are just very, it's just ironic, I think, that this is something that, I mean, if Mitt Romney actually listened to this letter or reread these words from this letter, it may, you know, it would be a good thing for him. So that was kind of my kind of conclusion of it, was that, you know, this is something that would be good for Mitt Romney to hear. So anyway,
Mitt Romney probably heard it all. He just doesn't seem to care.
No.
The fact is with Mitt Romney is, you know, I really don't get it. It's so weird with that guy. He has no popularity at all. Really.
Mm-mm.
There's nothing about him that people find appealing. Yet, at the same time, you know, he's got people like Ann Coulter, Chris Christie.
Yeah.
Paul or Pam Bondi from Florida.
Nikki Haley.
And they're singing his praises.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, wait a minute, you know, there's nothing appealing about the guy. What are you guys seeing in him? I mean, I've done all the research. I've seen all his decisions and his flip-flops and his, you know, I'm running for president for Pete's sake, you know, mm-hmm. those things. And people are still saying this is the guy we want to run our nation. I cannot get it. I'm like totally
yeah.
boggled. I scratch my head over it.
I mean, that's
now,
why I got Santorum. The talk, I think, is I couldn't get, I'm like, what is up with this guy? And it's the more I read, the less it's appealing. I mean, that's for
I
sure.
Know.
But go ahead, what were you going to say about Santorum?
Well, I was just saying, and then there's Santorum, who, you know, when he said, I have to admit, his last debate sucked. And that was pretty much because, you know, they kind of like sabotaged him.
Okay.
And they all like,
yeah.
they all like dogpiled on him.
They sent him between Mitt Romney and Ron Paul. He's like a punching bag.
Right, exactly. And he, you know, I have to say, they bombarded him with, you know, accusations and allegations and votes and things that meant nothing to this election. And he had to sit there. He was on the defense from the beginning, and he never got the offense back. And that wasn't really all his own fault. But
no, it wasn't.
He did have a couple opportunities there that had he said the right thing, it would have turned.
Right. But see, I think if he had been a different candidate, he would have done that, but he's not. And I think that that's a positive. You know, he does
yes
great.
Yes and no. There's things that he could have said that would have really, like, been a back at you type of feeling to them, and they either would have left it alone or come back on him, and he could have gotten back at them. And it would have been more of a debate. But it came down to, you know, like, even when he said, I'm real, Paul, Ron, I'm real.
Mm-hmm.
When he said he's a fake. You know, he needed to basically, instead of saying I'm real, he needs to say I'm genuine. Or I'm sincere. I'm just, you know, there's
yeah.
nothing about him that's fake.
Sure,
Handing over his hand and saying, I'm real, did nothing to prove he's not fake. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
he needed to actually come back with something. Whereas, you know, Ron Paul, on the other hand, can be seen as the real fake. If you really would have thrown it in his face. He's the one who, in every 30 years that he's been there, when he comes up with something, he puts it into a bill. But then he doesn't vote on the bill. There is
sure.
nothing less fake about that than what
uh-huh.
Santorum did.
Yeah, but
and he could have done that.
Right, but Billy, here's the problem.
Go ahead.
Here's the thing. The reason that he didn't, I would guess, and this is totally a guess, obviously, is that Ron Paul is, I don't believe that the people that support Ron Paul would care anything that Santorum had to say. Most people aren't going to vote for Ron Paul that are watching that debate. That, do you understand what I'm saying? You're not actually going to be affecting an undecided voter by attacking
right.
Ron Paul.
But
so
see,
I think
if
that that's
you, if you look
thing.
At it, but here's here you got to look at it from the Santorum supporter on the other end of the television set or the computer, whoever wherever you watched it. The
mm-hmm.
Santorum supporter sees Ron Paul smugly say, "Hey, 'cause he's a fake." And they know that Ron Paul's been there for 30 years. He, you know, he can judge. He can probably judge it himself.
Mm-hmm.
Santorum, it made people who were ready to vote for Santorum second guess themselves. Ron Paul supporters, no one's trying to take them away from him. Let him have the crazies out there.
I don't
but
see how
the
it's,
Santorum supporters that were leaning that way decided to shift their butt cheek. You know.
Hey,
I don't know. I don't know about that. Oh, go ahead. Yeah, I hear you now.
Okay, no echo either. Okay, well, I called in on my phone because I don't think the Skype's working.
But, I'm glad I said, I'm glad I spoke up, and I'm glad that Billy spoke up.
I'm glad you did because, you know, I can't tell from my end what's happening because it didn't sound bad to me. I've heard Thomas have the same problem with his Skype on his show, so it's like, okay, how do I figure this out? But, hey, we got 36.1% reporting in Michigan. We got Mitt Romney at 41, Rick Santorum at 38, Ron Paul at 11, Newt Gingrich at 6.4, and other at 2.7. And I just want to say this about Newt Gingrich. You know, they were calling for Rick to get out early on, but the polls, you know, you've got to pay attention to the polls. The polls showed that a lot of the Santorum voters would have been mixed between Romney and Newt. They wouldn't have all gone to Newt. Whereas if Newt drops out, most of his votes go to Rick Santorum. And if you want to beat Romney, if that's truly your goal, then you need to get behind Rick. But Rick is actually up in Tennessee in the polls and in Ohio, Becca, where you're at, and several other states. So if he could hold on to that. But we'll see what plays out here in Michigan. It's still obviously too close to call there. But, I got to see Santorum last night, and his cousin stood right behind us and said, he said, "What you see is what you get. This is the real deal." He said, you know, they had a family back in the 90s when he first came out with his pro-life thing. He's Italian, okay? They have this big family get-togethers. And the women are more liberal than the men. So they kind of circled him. And and they went on the attack, you know. So he sat there, his cousin said he sat there, and he talked with him all about it and never lost his cool. But so he's been prepared by the family for, you know, whatever they're going to try to throw at him. He was grilled by the matriarchs of the family already on the pro-life issues and different stances that he takes. So I thought that was kind of amusing.
That is a really cool kind of inside thing. That's really neat. That's a neat little detail, huh?
Because, you know, his cousin, I can't remember if he said it was Jack or John, but he was saying that, you know, the women are the matriarchs, and, you know, and they're the ones. So that was kind of interesting. Yeah. And he said how, you know, they're Irish Catholics, so they drink. And he said at the family reunion, most of the guys are out there, they're just drinking and getting drunk, and then they go to Mass. He said, not Rick. Rick was in his room with his family. So what you see is what you get. He is the real deal. You know, he's not, how can you lie about this character thing? I mean, this is what aggravates me with the Ron Paul and, you know, calling him a fake, you know.
Uh-huh.
Rick Santorum is a good man. A lot better man than somebody who sits there in Congress and sticks earmarks on a bill and then doesn't vote for it just so he can say he didn't vote for it. I mean, that to me is underhanded and sneaky.
It's deceptive. You're very kind in the way that you characterize that.
Well, we try to be.
Yeah, because you know, if he truly thinks that he's not doing it, I mean, not only is he lying to his supporters, but he's lying to himself.
Yeah,
and
because
he's
sending that pork because he's the one that put it there, and he knows it's going to pass. So, you know, what's the difference? Sign your name to the bill.
Yeah,
and it's more about deceit to me than anything else because you know, he can say he voted against it.
Did you guys see that John Bolton post I put on Patriot Soldiers? It was pretty interesting because it was like a Ron Paul supporter. It was a bunch of kids from college. And this Ron Paul supporter gets up and says, I want to ask you about blowback, you know, because I went over to Iraq, you know, in 2008. And he said all they did, you know, they were attacked by a 13-year-old kid. And he said, and honestly, if someone were invading America and my 13-year-old brother picked up a gun and was defending me in our home state, I'd say more power to him because that's, you know, that's our country and he has the right to defend it. And then he said, and that's all we were doing over there. We were just over there. We were invading them and we were like pillaging what they had and taking things from them. And you know what John Bolton said? He goes, if that's what you were doing over there, you committed a crime against our country, and you have dishonored our name.
Oh, wow.
And he literally got into it with this guy, and this guy said, but nothing we did was illegal. And he's like, yes, it was, you know? And John Stossel was the guy who was hosting the thing, and he's like, well, we're not going to get into all that right now. But it was just, I was like, awesome answer, John.
Oh, you guys have got to watch, not to cut into you, but when you mentioned John Stossel, did you all see this last weekend, John Stossel's show?
No, I didn't. I don't.
Great.
I don't have television.
I know. Well, you'd be able to watch it online. It was on, you know, it's on Fox. And basically, he had a show called, I can't even remember what it's called now. It's something, Everything, it's called Illegal Everything. And he goes through, he tries to set up a lemonade stand outside the Fox studios, and he can't actually do it. He can't do it because of the law. He cannot have a lemonade stand. Well, there are several different things, like the health department wouldn't let him actually serve it because they hadn't seen it made, like they didn't know what ingredients were in it, and it was made at his house or something, or in the kitchen at Fox News or whatever it was. So he couldn't actually serve it. So that people could give him money, but then once they had the cups, he would knock it out of their hands. He's like, you can't drink that. You can't actually drink it. Here's your money back. But it goes through a whole bunch of stuff about, all these things, and especially about regulations. I had this horrible story of this family who wanted to do something on their own property. And they, like, basically they went to their county and they said, there's this area that, you know, there was, like, a little bit of a stream going through their property and they couldn't build right there. So they said, hey, can we dam this so that we can have this area to build their house? They said, well, we won't do it, but you should go do it. So they went and got a backhoe. No, seriously. So they got a backhoe and they pulled, like, they moved the dirt so that it ended up being just, you know, not a creek. And they were sued by the government because the government said they had made a wetland and they couldn't build on the wetland. I don't know. It was a whole thing. And they were being fined $35,000 a day.
Sorry.
A day.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
They were being sued that. And so you should watch whatever it's called, Illegal Everything. And it is.
Was that
great,
the one in Idaho?
Show.
That was the Pruitts or something in Idaho or
yeah.
Pettits?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was just a small part of the show. But, yeah, he talks all the different things that are illegal and how it's affecting. There was another part about a farm, how the guy just can't
but
do it.
But didn't they lose that case? The EPA lost, didn't they?
But the government said they didn't care. The government didn't care. They sent him a letter. They said, we're going to sue you in civil court. And until this is resolved, you are going to pay us $35,000 a day.
But
and
it is already resolved.
Do.
It's resolved in Supreme Court.
No, the government. The government came and said, we're going to sue you in civil court. I don't know. It was something
they
else
can't.
The government.
The
I don't
Supreme
know,
Court
really?
Is the court of the land.
Well, they think they
I don't
can.
Know.
This is a problem that's going
can.
On right now, is that even some
it was something
things.
Else. It was current, but somehow or other, look it up. I just watched it, I swear.
But, yeah, they've the government is just out of control, and this is another thing that Rick talks on when he talks in his talks. It's about the regulations that he would repeal day one and get the government out of your lives because the government is out of control, and free enterprise is the way the system works. You know, you don't create jobs with government. You create jobs. You know, with people and with, you know, the people and the businessmen. And that was another thing, one of his talking points. So
I don't know how you can take something to the Supreme Court and then take it to a lower court.
You can't. You shouldn't be
able
to.
It was a different thing, though. It was somehow they found some other law to say
like a different loophole?
Something
like
that.
In other words, they're going to try to make these people do it no matter what.
Look it up. Look up John Stossel and Illegal Everything. And I'm sure it's on YouTube or it'll be on the Fox. You know, it'll be on their website. Because it's great. I mean, there were many different stories in there. And there was another one about a farmer that, you know, somebody in that county could go and find, like, a roadkill or they could go shoot a deer or something. And they could go door to door and sell, like, the meat from it. and there'd be no problem. But if he actually wanted to raise like turkeys or it was some fowl, it was like a chicken or turkey or something, he wasn't able to do it.
You know, the most amazing one is the Amish people. Amish people who are, they milk their cows and they sell their raw milk. And,
yeah, that was in there. That was on that show. That was
you can't
on the show
sell
too.
It across county or state lines. But every state allows their Amish community to sell their raw milk. Only when you sell it across the state line, it's illegal.
Doesn't
what
make
is
any
up
sense.
With these people?
No. It didn't talk about the Amish specifically, but it talked about a shop that had it. And that was the very beginning of the show. They said they had a situation where they came in with guns drawn. And they searched, they wrecked their store. They said they turned everything over. They looked through everything. And they took whatever they wanted from my refrigerator, you know, from their walk-in fridge. They just took whatever they felt like. They didn't even have
anything
to do with milk.
They had Gibson guitars on there, too, didn't they?
No. This specific show, they didn't. But, they stole raw milk, and they're like, what is their business? This is our body. We should be able to choose what we eat. You know, how many people die in you know, they drown in swimming pools. Should we make swimming pools illegal? You know, so you guys go watch the show. I'm going to tell you the whole show, but that's as much as I remember of it. It's just those stories. And
well, yeah,
very,
you know what? My sister-in-law, she moved to Hawaii, and my husband's family's originally from New York, but they moved to Hawaii, and part of that was because she, you know, she could get land where she could have a cow and a farm and stuff at a decent price. And she has a cow where they use it to they milk it every morning, and they have raw milk and everything. And she even did experiments where she gave it's disgusting to say, but
no, they give them like different things to make it flavored, right?
Pasteurized milk versus raw milk. One day she gave it to her daughter and she showed the stool samples.
Oh, my gosh.
Seriously. And she's like, this is my daughter on raw milk, and this is my daughter on pasteurized milk. Which one looks more healthy? And I'm like, oh, my gosh, Susan, why did you do that to your daughter? Poor Julia. You know, that's my niece. And she's like, well, no. And she's like, you know, here's the health department saying this stuff that makes my daughter unhealthy is better for her. And I'm saying, no, the raw milk is much better for her. I've seen her poop. You know?
Oh, my God.
They don't see it.
I'm seeing something on Yahoo News. Let me pull it up. It says it has a headline, Santorum threatens upset in Michigan. I don't know if that's based on the polls or what, but I'm pulling it up right now to see what they're talking about. On Yahoo, it says something called Live Blog. I'm going to look at it real quick and see. I'm just going to go look at my email, and then all of a sudden I see this thing.
Yeah, we're on the Huffington Post, we're showing 48.4 reporting with 40% for Romney and 36% for Rick. 6.6% for news and 5.8% for other. Now, these people, I don't know what they're thinking.
Just
but
live blogging. It's Jeff Greenfield. Jeff Greenfield, Yahoo News and ABC News.
Yeah, this is the highest other number I've ever seen.
I mean, that's just kind of crazy, is it not? It's like,
well, it had been going down, hadn't it? I mean, the different up to this point, hadn't the other been? No, it's been going up, really.
Yeah, the last three elections, it was less than 2% for all three. Now it's 5.7%.
Hmm.
It's weird.
I'm curious. It is very curious.
And I'm wondering who the others are.
Oh, but here's something interesting about you all were talking earlier, or maybe Brenda was talking earlier, about how many early voting, how much early voting there was in Michigan.
Uh-huh.
There's not a lot in at least as far as in my area in Hamilton. Well, that's just south of me, Hamilton County, the bigger county near me. There's very little early voting that happened compared with last time. I wish I had the stat. Actually, let me grab the newspaper and I'll tell you. It's so there's people still not decided.
In Ohio,
they're
or
waiting on today in Ohio. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they're waiting.
How
they're
close
waiting to
are
see
you, Becca? How close are you, Becca, to the incident that happened over the weekend?
Oh, not close.
Or actually, Monday. Yesterday.
That's in Cleveland. That's in a whole other part of the state.
You're not by Cleveland.
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay. No, I can't believe those things, you know, when they happen. It's just terrible.
Oh, I know. I know when you hear a state, you think, oh, I mean, you don't really know. But, oh, no, no, it's a whole other side. It's near Cleveland. It's toward Pennsylvania, actually. Uh-huh. It's to on the east side, kind of the east side of Pittsburgh. I mean, of Cleveland. But it's, okay. You know, it's a part of, it's like a suburb, I would guess. I mean, I don't know up there that well, so.
Nice.
Oh, here we go. Here's our stat. So basically, oh no, that's a different article. I was like rooting around in the dark, trying to grab newspapers. So forgive me. I don't know even I got that right part here. Oh, here we
Did
go.
You guys...
Early voters,
okay, go.
Early voters hard to come by. Is the very first? This is the top headline in the Inquirer from Tuesday. With only a week to go before Super Tuesday, it appears. Most Southwest Ohioans are waiting to cast their ballots at polls, or not at all. Only 5,514 Hamilton County voters have cast ballots early so far in the presidential primary. That's about one quarter of the 22,133 who had cast ballots by this time in the 2008 primary. Yeah, so there you go. So we're
wow.
not going to have the same thing where people are... you know, are so many kind of front-loaded the way that Michigan kind of is and the way, I guess, that Arizona would be. Arizona is so similar to Florida, though. You know, we have so
Arizona
many snowbirds.
Well, actually, I'm thinking the results were already 51% Romney to 29% Santorum in the early voting. So, I mean, that would
that's
be a
why,
huge
that's why they called
percentage
it so
to make up. I mean, it would
yeah.
be nearly impossible unless you got everybody out to vote. So, that
yeah.
you know, that was the thing with Arizona when, you know, people today are just thinking, we're probably not going to take Arizona. So Michigan is still too close to call. You know,
yeah.
Grand Rapids has not come in yet. And that all around Grand Rapids looks like it's leaning toward Santorum, whereas around Detroit, obviously, it's leaning Romney. And
right.
then the Upper Peninsula looks like it's Santorum, and then you get – at the tip of Michigan, there was a Romney cluster, and so it's
yeah.
kind of a neat little puzzle map. But
you can tell
on,
where
so.
Each of them visited more, or where their announcements or messages were heard more.
Yeah, it's interesting. So, but
here's another
we'll
interesting
see.
Interesting thing that's different from 2008. Just I'm just reading the continuation of the story. Basically, in 2008. The law was that every voter in Hamilton County would get an absentee ballot mailed to them. That didn't happen this time. So that may
oh,
have
wow.
actually mm-hmm. So that may have had that's from the state. Actually, it was Ohio that changed that. So so yeah. So not every household got a or it was every voter, not even every household.
Yeah.
Every voter would got an absentee ballot. So that's. You know, that's kind of good. I mean, I think it would cut down on fraud or on, you know, it's just
oh,
a waste.
Yeah.
You know, not
that,
a lot of people
just
do
fraud.
Have
I mean, if you're really concerned about your electoral process, you're going to go out on that Tuesday and vote. You know, I
yeah.
can understand if you're homebound or, you know, if you're going to be away. And there's certain reasons to do absentee ballots.
But the thing
but
is,
this
even,
voting
even
has
in
nothing
those
to do with
cases,
that.
Even
with
in
that?
Those cases, you need to request it yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
be
if
out
that person requests it, you don't just automatically send it to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And then
we did
hope
have a Democratic governor. You have to remember that, right? We
right.
We did just recently have a Democratic
governor.
But
that's the fair way. Remember that. You
yeah,
got to think
well,
of the
yeah,
fair
that's right.
way.
It must be fair.
It's only fair to give all of them to everyone and then, you know, let people cheat and lie and deceive.
And,
you know.
Becca, also, Les, wasn't it your state that was letting people sign up the same day and vote in the 2008?
No, I don't believe so, no. I know states that have done that, though. Like, when I lived in North Carolina in 2008, they did let you do that. It was kind of
Nevada
scary.
Did that last in 2010.
Oh, did they?
Who did
but
that?
Yeah, North Carolina.
It was Nevada. Remember Nevada? Sharon Engel was winning, and she was beating Harry Reid out there. And then they automatically, like a week before the election, said, okay, well, people can register to vote the day of the election. and get it in on time, and that's what happened. And then Harry Reid got all these registrations for his votes. But the thing is, a lot of people assume they were all illegals, too.
Mm-hmm. So, but no.
And that's
but
why Sharon Ingles threw a fit.
Yeah, for good reason. He is, just, speaking of sneaky, that Harry Reid, I mean.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you guys also know that, did you hear about, you know, the, up on Capitol Hill, they had, like, that hearing where there wasn't a woman about the woman's health,
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear about the Democrats who had their own hearing with that one woman from the college? This is the thing. She kept talking about it costs students $3,000 a year for contraception.
Yeah,
and you know what? People are like going, you're in school. Why the hell are you having so much sex? You know?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you know, seriously, she's like trying to say how desperate they need their contraception.
Right.
And Nancy Pelosi actually came right out and said to the point that basically the church has to let society tell them what their tenets are. Because society, they have to help society as society wants to be helped. Not the way that they do it, not by their rule, not by their foundation of their church, but by the way that a woman says she needs help. If she wants contraception, the church is supposed to confine to what the needs of that woman are. I seriously, you know, to take a line from Santorum, I wanted to throw up. I did. Hearing that, I did.
This is the infiltration process. You know, they get a little bit at a time, and they just they run with it. You know, they just go crazy with where it doesn't stop. Once you let them have their way once, they will push and push and push and push and push. And this goes back to way back the first time they let, you know, them take the prayer out of the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the problems that we're seeing today. So we've got a big mess, and the only way we're going to have a chance at trying to reverse this is if we can get a conservative in and get some Tea Partiers in the Senate and the House and start working on slowly turning things back. Because if you try to and there's probably going to be fighting anyway because this is what they promote. But we do have some Arizona 2.6% reporting in Arizona, 50% for Romney, 23.2% for Santorum, 16.5% for Gingrich, and 8.4% for Ron Paul, 1.7% for other. So that's just 2.6% reporting. Again, the early voting was a problem in Arizona. So we will see. We are still too close to call in Michigan with 60% reporting. We got Romney at 40%. We got Santorum at 36%. We've got Detroit reporting over half of their ballots. We don't have anything coming out of Grand Rapids yet. So the area around Grand Rapids all seems to be going for Santorum. So we will see how that comes out in the end. So this may be a long night as far as
right, because you're looking at less than 30,000, well, about 30,000 votes between the two. I mean,
yes,
they both.
And see, Detroit's almost 60% reporting. Actually, well, that's Wayne County. Actually, Santorum only has, or Romney only has, a 10,000 vote lead in Detroit over Santorum. Which is interesting, because Detroit is the one you would think would go, you know, and then, so we'll see. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Got
another, I got to go. I'm really glad that I was able to help out.
Oh, thanks, Becca.
Sometimes I end up being in the right place, you know, so that it worked out.
That was great.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Becca.
I'm glad you figured out your audio situation too. I just I knew it was happening on my end, but I didn't know if it was happening to everybody else. And so
I appreciate that too. I know I've been on other shows where that has happened. That's the first time I think it's happened for me. But it has to do with Skype. Something with Skype. So
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe there's too many users or something. probably a big night out there,
well,
people watching. So.
Yeah, and I'll try to stay longer another night. I'm actually still getting over the flu, so so I need to make myself go to bed a little earlier than usual. And
yeah,
so if I want to be making more, doing more stuff here for the campaign, I want to be in you know,
tip-top shape.
Right word. Yeah, tip-top. There you go, tip-top shape. That's right. We want to have like a boating metaphor somehow. But thanks for enjoying my Romney stories, such as they are.
Thank you.
Anytime.
Thank
anybody
you so much, Patriots, again. Guys, call in.
Call in
for sure.
Because
this is like, can't hold back on the Women Patriots is it. I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You have to call in and talk to the ladies on the Women Patriots. It's just, that's what to do. So
yeah.
You have a great night. And you guys all need to call in. It's 718-305-7176 and talk to Billy and Brenda, and you will have your voice heard. As
we're here.
America.
Thanks. Okay.
Have a good night. Bye-bye.
We at 26.4 reporting out of Arizona with Mitt Romney at 49%, Rick Santorum at 24%, Newt Gingrich at 16%. Now, see if you add those two, you've got 40%. You have Ron Paul at 8.6 and other at 1.6. So, but again, this was a very early voting state where Romney had a huge lead in the early voting. So that one was kind of expected. They actually quit polling there on
Sunday? Got, you know, Jan Brewer yesterday when she made her announcement. A lot of early votes came in.
Oh, really?
Yeah, her and John McCain are both from Arizona, and
yes,
they're both Romney supporters.
Well, that's establishment, though. You know, that's, if you notice, I don't know if they have it here, but, you know, the establishment seems to want to back Romney, and they say there is no establishment. There is an establishment. It is the folks with the money. It is the folks telling us what our party platform should be, and it is the ones trying to tell us that Rick Santorum is too conservative, which is just not their place, you know?
Hogwash.
Yes. The fact that we know this is because they said, oh, Romney's going to win before the first vote was ever cast. Now, that is not we the people being heard. That is somebody telling us what we're going to vote for. So
right, and that's the problem. That's why, you know, Teresa. Is Teresa still on the line? I haven't looked at the.
No, she dropped off, but she had Skyped in. So I think she may have been having the same problem I was with the Skype. So,
okay.
She was having trouble hearing.
But
so
she had something on there about, you know, on Patriot Soldiers about Romney, and it was talking about, you know, how I can't remember it. She'd have to elaborate more. I read it once, and I added my little number 4 to it or whatever it was, saying we're not voting for Romney because the media told us to. Because the media keeps trying to say Romney's the guy, Romney's the choice. And the thing they don't understand is we really, really don't want Romney.
Well, here's the problem.
Romney.
He can't run on his record. He cannot run against Obamacare because he wants Romneycare for the rest of the country. And so, you know, he wants government at some point telling you have to take insurance, either at the state level or the governmental issue. And that's still an infringement on your rights, even though it's coming from the state.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Even if he says, oh, well, I'm for state rights, not the federal government making those
right.
rights, it doesn't matter.
But
you know what? I don't want anyone telling me what to do when my First Amendment tells me I can do what I want.
Right. Exactly.
If
I'm
just saying, you know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, those three things I'm guaranteed.
Right.
That doesn't mean I'm guaranteed any health insurance. I don't want health insurance from them. I want to choose my health insurance. I don't want to have to pay more for it tomorrow because they said everybody else who's uninsured needs to have health insurance too.
Right.
I'm serious. I'm sorry.
It's just, well, and it, what has happened, and you and I have talked about this before, Billy, there is, and people out there listening, you know, you've heard me say it before, there is a list, and it's a communist list. Came out of the Soviet Union back in the 50s, and on that list is, you know, they had to take things to court and whittle away at our Constitution by getting rulings in their favor. Didn't say it that way, but it's actually similar to that, and that's what they've done. Slowly but surely made it into about, it's all about my individual right. You know, like Rick Santorum, this is great. He talks about when you go into the town square, I have as much right to go to the town square and talk about my God and my religion as that non-believer does and be heard by the government. So you're telling me that only the non-believers can go to the square and have input into what the government says. And that's
right.
Totally wrong. You know, he's so absolutely right on that issue. And it's laughable that these people think that he's outside the mainstream when truly.
Well, you know, that's no different than Holder's stance on what minorities or what racists are, whether a minority can be a racist against a Caucasian person. Eric Holder says that's not possible. For the simple term that a minority cannot be a racist in his logic.
Which is ridiculous.
A minority, by definition, is already discriminated against.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is foolishness.
And we're seeing it in their policies. We see it in their policies every day. You know, and how
right.
they rule.
And we see, and that's just it. That's where, like, atheists, they say, well, atheists deserve their voice in the square because they're the minority. Catholics don't deserve that voice in the square because there's so many of them.
But they can't impose it on everybody else because they don't have a guaranteed right of freedom of religion because atheists don't have a religion. They don't believe in God. It's an ideology.
But that is their religion. Their religion is what they call the myth.
No, that's not a religion.
They call it the myth of
that's an ideology
creation.
You know, and it's just a way to get around things. And it doesn't guarantee you in the Constitution that you won't have to listen to somebody else pray. You know, that's not in the Constitution.
Right, exactly.
But then, you know, that
also comes down to, you know, like people like me and you who are married to the same sex, the opposite sex, sorry. And then we see a same-sex couple, you know, they technically we feel like they're infringing on our rights by bringing it out of the bedroom and putting it in our face.
Well, and
we say keep it in your bedroom.
Teach our children that it's okay when we don't believe that way. You know, they don't have a right to do that. And I can guarantee you that if we were going to go back, and I know they'll say, well, you're outdated, but, you know, in our forefathers, these people would have been just killed outright. Here we are. We're trying to be tolerant and say, okay, you do it. That's fine. I don't care what you do in your bedroom. But that isn't good enough. That isn't good enough for them. They want to come into our schools and teach our children that this is the right thing and your parents are wrong. And that's where it becomes the issue. You know,
right.
It's not an issue.
Because then they infringe on parental rights.
Yes, exactly. And they want to take those away from us, and they want to indoctrinate, and this, again, goes to the schools. They want to indoctrinate our children in the school system. Again, that's on the list of communist goals, that indoctrination.
And you look at what they did
union.
With those lunches, even. I mean, they're doing everything they can through the schools to try making our children think that we're bad parents, too.
Even with the food
you
and
know,
everything.
My kids this week have said, hey, Mom, I want to take cold lunch this week, you know. And I'm sitting here while I'm making their lunch saying, okay, I got to cover all the bases.
It's just ridiculous.
And I'm like, what the heck have they done to me?
It's ridiculous.
You know?
You should be able to feed your child what you want to feed your child. Let me just give a quick update. We got 66.6 reporting, 41.6 for Romney, 37.3 for Rick Santorum. We are still waiting for the great city of Grand Rapids to do any reporting yet. That area all around Grand Rapids is going towards Santorum, so that's probably going to be a big jump in numbers when that comes in. Detroit's got about 60% reporting. It's leaning Romney by about 10,000 votes or 8. So that about 10% there in Detroit, which is not unexpected. We kind of figured that would go that way.
I'd love to have a conversation with the health department about how they think sending a yogurt to school with my daughter is more important than that yogurt going warm and getting her sick because it's not at the right temperature when,
oh, absolutely.
You know, when it's...
I mean, it's just insane where they're going with this, you know, and when I was a kid, I mean, I used to take things like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches to school.
Right.
That's the only thing I would eat, okay, so...
My daughter's favorite is a peanut butter sandwich on toast.
Yeah, well,
she takes a cold lunch.
So, you know, hey.
And then she likes, like, little cubes of cheese and little, you know, as long as it's processed cheese, I don't really mind because it's not going to go bad as much as if it weren't processed.
Right.
You know, like the cheddar cheeses and stuff will go bad. So,
right.
I mean, but I don't like giving processed food to the kids at the same time, you know? It's like, what the heck? So, here... They try telling me how to feed my children, and I'm like, you know, you're trying to tell me to give them not processed food, but that food will go bad by lunchtime, believe me.
Yeah. Yeah, so it just gets kind of just really, uh-oh, they just called Michigan for Romney with 69.3% reporting.
Oh, no.
Darn. So not the greatest news we were looking for, but
well, that sucks because this county is 50% in that county, Dickinson.
What's that? Mm. What are you?
I'm looking at the different counties. There's only 21% reporting out of Kent County by Grand Rapids.
Yeah, it's not really reporting in yet, but they're saying it's going to go. They're calling
it. Santorum kicking butt there.
What's that?
And I said Santorum's kicking butt there in
Kent
County.
Apparently it's going to come out, in the end, it's going to come out Romney winning.
Well, the fact is, yeah, he'll need 30,000 votes again. He needs 30,000 to win, even if he gets...
I see the problem. Romney
could get 30,000 there.
Romney's going to pull votes, too. I don't have... My county doesn't show what's in Grand Rapids. Well, Ottawa County, there were 37,000 votes cast last season or last year.
Isabella County only has 10% reporting. Oh, well.
Oh, well. We'll just have to see how it plays out. They're usually pretty accurate when they call, but we'll continue to report to you from that.
Well, look what they did with Iowa.
Well, yeah, that's true, too. But the good news out of here, folks, is that he's got Romney running scared. And if we can continue with the news coming out of Tennessee and Ohio and those voting states, even if Rick gets down to Georgia, he's going to be able to take votes away from Newt because hopefully people will come away from this saying, well, Newt only got 6% in Michigan. And even in Arizona, where none of them really campaigned a lot, looks like Santorum is going to beat Gingrich there. In Arizona, so we still got some good news, some momentum to build on and work with. Something nobody would have even thought of last, 2 weeks ago, you know, that Santorum would be pushing Romney for the lead in Michigan. So it's kind of been an interesting couple weeks here. Too much time between the elections, I think, though. So we got only a week now until Super Tuesday. So it's going to be interesting to see how things start playing out. You know, Romney's not expected to carry the South. We're going to be battling with Gingrich. And unfortunately, he's been funded so that because somebody doesn't like Santorum, again, people have a perception that the conservatives can't win, yet we are the base of the party. And,
well, we all know. You know, this is the big thing that I honestly was thinking with the RNC at one point where they said we need the independent vote. And what I came to realize is it's not the independents. It's the real strict conservatives that will only come out and vote for Santorum.
Right.
That will stay home if it's Romney or Newt.
Right. Which stayed home when McCain voted. See, they don't ask that. They don't ask. They don't bother to find out who didn't come and for what reason.
They're
you know.
The ones that voted for Pat Buchanan. They're the ones who voted, you know, instead of Dole. They're the ones who voted for Huckabee that, you know, McCain did not win over.
Right.
Right.
Those are the ones that they need to be worried about more than anything, because they're the same ones that won't show up if it's Romney or Newt. And, you know, people can say, oh, that's un-American not to vote. I feel for them. I really do, because I'm someone who is anybody but Obama, so I will be voting regardless if I have to hold my nose. But
me
I
too.
Actually have to say I have respect for these people who say I will not vote because it's not they're not thinking about me personally.
Well, they don't think
this
it matters.
This person does
and
not care.
They're absolutely right, because there is no difference between – there's very – the only difference I see between Obama and Mitt is that Mitt is probably proud to be an American. Obama, I don't believe he is. But, you know, Mitt Romney – and I may be wrong here, because the same money backs both men. And that's another thing that worries me. You know, people aren't looking at the bigger picture of this. Here's the thing in Michigan. You know, if Newt Gingrich was not in this thing, Rick Santorum would have been at 42%, and he would have been beating Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
And in Arizona,
exactly.
It would have been a closer race, even though
Arizona,
early voting kind of killed that. But,
I just saw that.
What's that?
Well, actually, you know, you're looking at probably Arizona's all green. It's pathetic.
Well, yeah,
but,
it was, like I said, it was expected to do that because the early voting was like 51 to 20-something percent.
Yeah.
And so there was, they didn't really think there was any way that that was going to really make a difference. And again,
wow.
Those were people that cast votes before Santorum actually started winning those, his trifecta that he won.
I was personally hurt when I heard Jan Brewer endorse Romney. I was like, you sellout.
Did you expect any difference?
I liked you.
Romney put money into her campaign, okay? Most
yeah.
of these people, I think you can go back and see where Romney put money in their campaign. And if you go down and look, actually, this is interesting, because people, if you don't want establishment and you don't want Rick, you go down and you look here at how many GOP endorsements, you know, Romney has 102. And these are the insiders, okay? These are the establishment people. Rick Santorum has 4, Newt Gingrich has 12, and Ron Paul has 4. So who is the insider in this race? Mitt Romney. He's not an outsider. If he was an outsider, he wouldn't have all these people backing him. He's in the money game. You want the same thing going on, the same corrupt money deals going on in Washington. Mitt Romney is your guy. You want change, you're going to go with Rick Santorum as the truly conservative, truly voice of the people. And that was impressive last night, too. They had a kid there that was from Mishawaka, Indiana, and he was portraying George Henry. And, oh, he was awesome. The kid was like, he had the whole speech memorized and the way he his delivery. It was a great start to the evening. There in Kalamazoo, so it was pretty cool. The whole thing was just fun. So,
yeah.
But we got 31 minutes left here. If anybody's out there wants to give us a call and say hello and tell us what you're thinking, and we'll talk about the day's
event. Well, Michael
event.
B's in the room, so he can give us a call.
Who's that?
Michael B.
Yes, I know he is. He hasn't called in, though, to give his 2 cents.
I know.
I mean, we've all been kind of waiting to see this reporting coming in.
We're kind of waiting to hear from our boss.
Waiting to hear from our boss. So. But, yeah, I can't say I'm not disappointed with this, because I really was hoping Rick could pull it out. Although, again, it was the early voting that he had to overcome, because, like, going into yesterday, he was actually ahead of Mitt, but there were the early votes that came in kind of secure the whole thing, because you have to make up for those, whereas it might have turned out differently if those people had waited to vote. And,
yeah.
I don't even like it here, because they start voting now in the presidential elections. You can go downtown and you can vote for like a week or two going up to the election. And it's like, if you don't, you know, if you're not interested enough to show up on election day. You know, this should be something, this is what people die for across the world. They're fighting for in Syria, you know, maybe not they may not be good people, but they're fighting to be free of a government that oppresses them. And yet, here in America, we can't even make it to out to vote on one given day because, for whatever reason, our own interests going on or whatever is going on in our lives. And I don't think we appreciate, you know, what we have. When you have a 53% turnout for a presidential election, that was 2008, it's kind of disheartening to know.
It is.
You know, our forefathers died for this country. They died. And then
some people's brothers and husbands died for it, you know, today.
And you know, in the world wars, we probably had some people had grandparents that died. And we had people in the Civil War, even in this country, when we were threatened to be pulled apart. You know, we had people, brothers, and fighting in the field and dying for what they did.
Daniel's going back over there. My husband goes back over in Afghanistan in September.
That's scary,
yeah.
Especially with what's going on. I cannot believe.
I know.
Obama won't release his letter that he wrote to the Iranians. Or Afghanistan, Karzai. And, you know, why not? Where's the transparency? Because, you know,
there is no transparency.
Well, he won't get reelected if
government.
He publishes that letter. And here's another interesting thing is, you know, Hillary's telling the Arabs not to listen to the GOP candidates. And I know why. They're trying to negotiate with terrorists. And these people believe that you cannot interact with the infidels. We are the infidels. And back in 1785, Jefferson.
She's an infidel too to them, though. She is an infidel to them.
Well, except for she doesn't profess. See, they can deal with her because she's not professing her belief in God. You know.
It doesn't matter. No, it does not matter. As long as you, to them, to a Muslim, no matter who it is, no matter, as long as they are not Islam, as long as they do not believe in Islam, they are an infidel. Especially Christians and Jews. And they can do whatever they want to whomever they want in their belief system. So at one point, you know, you could see Hillary Clinton get in trouble with them just because they want to. It's all up to a snap of the finger from one person. It used to be Bin Laden, now it's someone else. And when he snaps his finger, that's when the things are going to happen.
Yes. And this is nothing new, people. This has been going on. And then Hillary Clinton has the nerve to get on that, speak out and say it's the Republicans that are inciting this violence in Afghanistan. No, it
well,
is
no.
not.
Do you know why they say that, though?
Well,
they see the uprising, the people that are rising up in the streets and the people who are rioting as the left, as the democracy rising up finally. They see the people who are in power right now as the right. They are the ones who don't want the change. They're conservatives. They're saying we don't want things to change in our nation. And the ones rising up are saying, hey, we want rights now. We women want not to be, you know, slaves to our men. We women want to be able to own businesses. So they say that's where, if you listen to the right, the violence is going to get worse. If you listen to the left, it's going to, you know, the uprising will finally happen and the democracy will finally take place. But if they keep continuing to listen to the right, that's just going to make the right stronger. They're going to think, you know, they have more of a reason to keep their nation the way it is and not let democracy happen. But that's not what we're about. That's not what conservatives here in this nation are about. Change is good to an extent. As long as our foundation remains.
Right.
You know, you can tear down all the walls of the nation. As long as the foundation, the basement, is the same.
Right.
And their foundation, though, crumbled the day they put it into place with stuff like Sharia law. You know, that's where they have a bad foundation. They need to create a new foundation.
Right.
And that, you know, that's where the biggest problem is in those countries right now, because Islam in and of itself is the problem. Problem. Sound like I'm talking baby talk to my kids again.
But no, seriously, that is the problem. They need to realize that certain things, you know, the belief in Islam, their belief is no matter what, they can say whatever they want.
Right.
In the face of an infidel, they can lie no matter what to any infidel. They can lie. They're lying to Hillary Clinton. We know that.
Oh, we know that.
When they say they want peace, but they're lying in the face of an infidel, so they say it's not a crime against God to them.
Yeah.
But it is a crime to lie to another Muslim. So do you see what I'm saying? That
yes.
kind of stuff is their belief system. So no matter what they say. I say we can't trust them to some extent. We really can't. We can't put our faith in anything any Islamic nation says, be it Syria, be it Iran. No matter what they're trying to say, if they say it to an infidel, they're not lying, and they're very convincing because they don't think they're lying.
Yes.
You know?
Right. And it's a mistake to think you can deal with these people, and it's a mistake to try to ignore these people because you can – ignore them all you want, but they have a goal, and their goal is to have world dominance. And they want to destroy the infidel. Well, you know what? Israel has a right to exist. And to turn your back on someone like Israel, you know, for these people who are filled and taught hate is it's unconscionable. And the people that advocate for that, you know, are Russia is not done, folks, and they are building up why our president disarms us, and it's going to be interesting. We're going to have an interesting election. We're going to have an interesting battle going on here, even as we get closer to the main elections. But, yeah, I'm a little disappointed we didn't pull out this Michigan thing, but... hey, we got Super Tuesday coming up, and that's going to be the defining moment. So we just need to all stay positive and keep getting out Rick's positive message. The more people that see him, the more people that like him, because he's real. He's real. He's got the spark in his eyes that Mitt Romney doesn't have. He knows how to relate to people on a people level, and he knows the Constitution, and he's not going to be forcing government-run health care on us, and he's not going to be forcing the Department of Education on us. He's going to send that back to the state level. So there is just so many good reasons to take a second look at this man. In Arizona, they got 51.9 reporting, 48% for Mitt Romney, 25% for Rick Santorum, 16% for Newt Gingrich, and 8% for Ron Paul. Ron Paul is going to edge out Newt Gingrich in Michigan. At this point, he's 77% reporting. We got Mitt Romney at 41%. We got Rick Santorum at 37%. We have Ron Paul at 11%. We have Newt Gingrich at 6.6% and other at 2.9% in Michigan. So that's where we're standing with our polls. We got about 20 minutes here left in the broadcast. If you'd like to call in and give us your thoughts or your opinions, we'll be more than happy to take that call. The number is 718.
I have to admit, Ron Paul is very committed to something.
I don't know.
In
I have
his,
no idea what. And
it's his determination for delegates. He really
but he's not getting them. I mean, he thinks he is.
He is getting them. See, delegates, no matter who they're assigned to right now, they do not have to be faithful until the convention in August. And the only way that one of those running right now wins all of those is if they win the amount. Hang on one second.
Mm-hmm. We got 80.6 reporting. Romney at 41% out of Michigan, 37% for Rick Santorum, 11.6% for Ron Paul, 6.6% for Newt Gingrich. And Arizona, 52% reporting, 48% for Mitt Romney, 25% for Rick Santorum, 16% for Newt Gingrich, 8% for Ron Paul.
So we've got the results. They have called both of these for Romney at this point. We're still waiting for some of the bigger numbers to come out of Grand Rapids has not reported in yet. And Detroit is still not all in, but that's heavily leaning Romney there. It's been pretty steady all night, so that's not going to change. I think we're going to see a closing in the gap when Grand Rapids comes in. But again, folks, these you can't take these totally as 100% of what the nation is thinking, because both Michigan and Arizona had early voting, and people that actually voted in the early voting would have changed their vote had they not have voted at that time. So that's something to keep in mind as we go into this next week and we start fighting for the Super Tuesday states. Actually, we have Washington coming up. I don't know what the latest polls there were showing. I know the original polls coming out of Washington had Rick Santorum on top. So we'll see how that holds. And we got Tennessee, where Rick Santorum is on top, and Ohio, where Rick is on top. He's not campaigned. He's been one stop in Georgia, so we'll have to see how the Georgia goes. That is actually originally where Newt Gingrich is from, but both Newt Gingrich and Senator Santorum both live in Virginia, so I don't know what you necessarily call their home states. Just those things to keep in mind. Also keep in mind they've been doing some recent polling, and Santorum is actually beating Obama in the swing states by a larger amount than Mitt Romney. So if you're thinking you want the most electable, you're looking at Rick Santorum. If you're thinking,
I think that's weird, though, that Santorum and Newt can't be on Virginia's ballot, but they both live there.
Well, they didn't turn in signatures.
I know.
I heard that Rick had the signatures. Somebody told them that he had signatures and then didn't turn in the signatures.
Mm-hmm.
And you haven't heard anything in the news because obviously they're not going to lie about it.
It was that he turned in his signatures late, and they had a big whoop de doo. It was when Rick Perry was still in, and Rick Perry was saying he was going to sue them. Basically, he wanted to take it to a judge and let the judge decide, and I guess they did, and the judge decided they still have to stay off the ballot, including Santorum, even though he had enough signatures, and it got in late.
Okay, that was one person that voted 3,000 signatures for Rick Santorum in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And so that.
And they said that some of them were phony and stuff like that, but.
And we have 81.5 reporting. It's 41% for Mitt Romney, 37.6% for Rick Santorum, 11% for Ron Paul, and 6.6% for Gingrich. So far, the delegates in Michigan are a 5-5 delegate count. All 29 of Arizona's delegates will go to Mitt Romney. The biggest delegate haul is going to come on Super Tuesday. That is March 6th. So we want to be sure to keep encouraging our friends and family members to get out and vote. We want to be calling. We have the Rick call from home. It's callfromhome.ricksantorum.com. You can get yourself signed up. You can call into any state and help the campaign that way. They do sine wave Saturdays. So if you are in a particular state or city, county, even if you only have 2 to 3 people, get out with your signs. Gives name recognition to the candidates. So there's multiple ways that you can help with the campaign. You can blog, you can tweet, you can anything that you're comfortable with doing, we encourage you to do that and get involved and stay involved. This isn't over yet by a long shot, and we would like to try to wrap it up before the convention, like I said, because otherwise that just hurts us overall in the general. But,
and see, that's what I was talking about with Ron Paul delegates, is the convention is where the delegates are going to count if this ends up being that nobody has the 1,144 they need. If Romney comes out, or Santorum, or Newt comes out at the end of 50 states primaries with, or at the end of the states,
yeah.
If they come out with the 1,144, they are the nominee. If they don't have that amount, then the delegates go to the big convention in Tampa
and there is going to be a vote, and anybody, even Christie, even Palin, can be voted on
by
the delegates.
First they
and
try
Rahm
to work it out.
Paul.
I think first they have to, they try to, actually, this is what they say, that it will not go down to the convention because they will work the deals behind the scenes before it ever gets to the convention.
That's the brokered, yeah.
Yeah, we can't go into, we can't wait till August. Because all that does is hurt our party. And unfortunately, Ron Paul is not actually a Republican. He's a libertarian. But you can't tell his supporters anything differently. He runs on the Republican
problem.
Ticket because, you know, there is no Libertarian Party ticket, obviously.
Exactly.
But,
there's so few of them. I mean, and they're growing, though. This is the problem. Because, you know, the libertarians come out and they've got this, you know, they're more the isolationists, the, you know, we can do better.
No government. They want no government at all. They
right,
want
that's
everything.
Just it, yeah.
They want
that's
the drugs.
That's exactly what
they
want.
You know, they don't want anybody legislating anything. So
no government, no borders, no nothing, basically.
Yeah.
And it's just ridiculous.
It's not
ridiculous.
A good thing.
You can't, no. You can't
healthy.
Have no law because we are a rule of law, a land of laws.
Right. You have to have, and you have to have some common sense, too. And unfortunately, you don't see that happening. But as of this point, it looks like Romney's going to pick up another 34 delegates.
34,
take him
yeah.
Right up to about
260.
What
160
think?
Something. Doesn't he have like 123 right now?
I thought he had 122. Let me go take a look real quick.
Either way, 120.
I use the realclearpolitics.com. Oh, wait a minute.
So bringing up 34 delegates would make him.
Okay, so he would have, yeah, 157.
59.
Okay. And then Santorum's going to pick up the 77. What's that?
Is it 123 and 34?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's 157.
157, and Santorum will have 77. Well,
yeah.
And there's some more to be awarded out of Michigan because I think they have, don't they have 15 up for grabs in Michigan?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a couple more yet to come out of Michigan, which may very well go to Rick because the counties coming in yet are still heavily Rick that haven't reported. So we'll see how that turns out. They award by district in Michigan. So nobody is out of this by any means, especially among the top two. Newt Gingrich has 32 delegates. And then Ron Paul is somewhere lagging behind that. Where is, let me give it a quick look here. 19.
None.
What?
19? Oh, that's right, because they do those proportional ones.
Yeah, he has 19. So 19, the youngers at 32, Rick Santorum will be at 77 to 79 after tonight. And Mitt Romney's going to be at
157.
So yeah, they've updated it here. They went to 152. They awarded him the Arizona one. Well, we got about 11 minutes left in our broadcast, so we want to make sure that you're all tuning in to Conservative Nation Radio. We have shows going on every night, just about every night of the week. We have a new show that's on Saturdays. Called, is it Red, White, and Blue?
Red, Right, and Blue.
Red, White, and Blue, and I believe that airs at like 2 p.m. I don't see it on our schedule here.
It's Red, Right, R-I-G-H-T, and Blue.
Okay, and that's on Saturdays. We have No Abomination on Fridays at 7 p.m. Is that Eastern or is it 8 p.m.?
Yes, and my husband's trying to get me a very special guest.
Okay, yeah, 7 p.m. Eastern. Billy's hoping to have a special guest, if not this week, maybe in the weeks coming up. We have on Sundays, we have Soldiers Santorum Soldiers of Patriotism at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central. On Monday nights, we have Liberty Sons. These are our college kids at 8 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern time. And then
now, are they called Liberty Sons now or Sons of Liberty?
It says Liberty Sons on our site here. So.
Okay.
And I believe we have a new one that may be debuting soon. Another person joining our Conservative Nation network. We have some big things in the works for our network, and we want to encourage you to tune in. There is our We Pick Rick radio show that runs, I believe, every night at like 10 Eastern time on Blog Talk Radio. That's all things Rick Santorum. There's a We Pick Rick. .net. There's ricksarmy.com. If you're not a part of those, you want to go out there and make sure you sign up. It's a great way to get to people and talk to other people who are supporting the same candidate. So, Billy, you have any last thoughts for us here going into our...
Well, my last thoughts are simply just, you know, we have a lot to look forward to. Don't give up the fight. Our fight is still ongoing. Santorum has the right message. It's maybe not 100% the right time, but it's coming up at least.
Yes.
The fact is, he has got the right message for the people who want to hear it. And there's a lot of people out there that, I mean, I have to admit, I literally bought into the RNC saying, well, we have to have Romney simply because we need those independent votes. And when I went to that convention, I found out, you know what, it's not the independents we need to try getting. We need to try getting the conservatives, the totally staunch, 100%, I will not vote for anyone who does not vote for me, conservative.
Right.
They are the ones that really will take this election and either win it for us or lose it for us.
Right. You got to have your base. And whether they like it or not, we are the base of the Republican Party. We are the white, right-wing,
conservative Christian. But they're just counting on us
by assuming
we will vote. They're assuming that every conservative wants Obama out because
right.
they buy into the same liberal rhetoric that, oh, every conservative is a racist, so they want Obama out. No, it's not that they want Obama out because he's black. They want him out because he's doing bad things to our country. But if Romney's in there, he's going to do more of the same, so they don't give a damn one way or the other if it's Obama or Romney.
Right. Well, and here's the fact. Romney can't run again. What is he going to run against Obama on? You can't do it on health care, which is the biggest issue. You know, you can't do it on...
I haven't heard anything he has to say that is appealing in any way, shape, or form. He wants to add more to the tax code. I am all for taking away the tax code altogether and starting from the ground up.
Well, and here's
the
big thing. His new plan wants to tax the charitable donations that the 1% makes. Now, who is that going to hurt? The charitable donations, for you folks that don't realize it, are the ones that help the poor people in this country, that go to charities. Maybe, you know, maybe if you limit it to the overseas charitable donations, which I don't even know if they can deduct at this point. But, you know, just like with Obamacare is going to do, it's going to shut down hospitals because the Catholics aren't
going to... It's going to shut down Catholic hospitals.
Yes.
He wants the Catholics not to have such a say in our nation that people... You know, people who believe and have faith in God, he doesn't want that. He really doesn't want them looking to their church for answers. They want them looking to the government for answers. So you know what they want. And I've noticed this over the past is they want these churches and hospitals to close up. Because guess what? Then the government gets to come in, take more money, and rebuild them or take over them, whatever. And then now the government has...
They won't have the funds
right.
to take over them. So it's not going to work.
They'll have the funds because they're going to tax their way to having the funds.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they want.
Well,
it all depends it all depends on the people. It depends on whether or not... And I saw a poll recently where it says... Like 54% of people believe that there is a separation between church and state, and 50 or 48% believe there isn't, or something like that, or 46.
Well, they don't understand it because we've been told for so many years there is a separation of church and state, but they don't realize it. So this is another thing we need to get out there. You know, it's not, that's not in the Constitution. And I even had one person calling me a liar on Huffington Post, and it's like, no, I'm not lying. There is no separation of church and state.
The First Amendment is the separation of church and state. They don't get that.
Yeah.
They don't.
Yeah.
By saying there will be no establishment of a national religion, that is separating the government from religion.
It's protecting the religious community so that we have freedom to worship. Like you're Catholic. I'm just a non-denominational Christian. We have Protestant. It protects us all and allows us to practice in any way we choose so that the government
right.
doesn't come and say, you're all going to practice this faith.
Right.
And that's what the Constitution was written to do. It was not to keep prayer out of the government or prayer out of the schools. It was not to protect the poor atheists from having to hear that prayer like it's going to hurt them to do so. It was giving us the rights to say those prayers and to say them in public and not be scorned and laughed at. And they have obviously gotten very far away from that belief in that system of the Constitution. So we need to get back to that. We need to be education. Education is the key. We need to get people informed. I do want to thank everybody that tuned in tonight for our coverage. I know we're all a little bit disappointed in the results, but keep your heads high. We still haven't heard from Grand Rapids, actually, and Romney's just got like a 4%, 3.4% lead. So I suspect that's going to close a little bit when Grand Rapids comes in. And we see there's a couple counties haven't reported in yet. So when those do, I think that lead's going to diminish. And again, remember, it was the early voting, especially in Arizona, we're at 61% reporting. We're at 47.8 to 25.8% and 16.4 for Newt Gingrich, 8.5 for Ron Paul. So I encourage you not to listen to the pundits in the media. I encourage you to do your own research and trust your instincts and know that if you get a chance to go out and hear Rick speak, go and take your family, take your friends. When you listen to him, you know he believes what he's saying, and he knows what he's talking about. So we're going to end this with a clip from Ronald Reagan, because I love my clip from Ronald Reagan, and this is something that should be very real to each and every one of us today and in our generation. So thanks for tuning in,
Norman
and
Thomas,
we will
six times candidate
talk
for
to you all
Socialist
Party
on Friday.
The American people would
thanks,
never
Billy.
Vote for socialism. But he said, under the name of liberalism, the American people will adopt every fragment of the socialist program. There are many ways in which our government has invaded the precincts of private citizens, the method of earning a living. Our government is in business to the extent of owning more than 19,000 businesses covering 47 different lines of activity. This amounts to a fifth of the total industrial capacity of the United States. But at the moment, I'd like to talk about another way, because this threat is with us, and at the moment is more imminent. One of the traditional methods of imposing statism or socialism on a people has been by way of medicine. It's very easy to disguise a medical program as a humanitarian project. Most people are a little reluctant to oppose anything that suggests medical care for people who possibly can't afford it. Now, the American people, if you put it to them about socialized medicine and gave them a chance to choose, would unhesitatingly vote against it. We had an example of this under the Truman administration. It was proposed that we have a compulsory health insurance program for all people in the United States, and of course, the American people unhesitatingly rejected this. So, with the American people on record as not wanting socialized medicine, Congressman Farrand introduced the Farrand Bill. This was the idea that all people of Social Security age should be brought under a program of compulsory health insurance. Now, this would not only be our senior citizens, this would be the dependents and those who are disabled. This would be young people if they are dependents of someone eligible for Social Security. Now, Congressman Foran brought the program out on that idea of just for that particular group of people. But Congressman Foran was subscribing to this foot-in-the-door philosophy because he said, if we can only break through and get our foot inside the door, then we can expand the program after that.